you get both of these books, it'll only be one $4 postage and handling. And I would urge you to do that. We've got to see change. We've got to be and become the people that God wants us to be and become. Jesus is coming. People, get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon we'll be coming home. Let's do everything that we can. I want to urge you to become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. If you've never given before, begin this year. Begin today. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. God bless you. Be a blessing. And let's open our hearts to those around us.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Grismire. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of IRN, its advertisers, or affiliates.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for this next hour, they're going to be your views as well, because this is Open Line Wednesday. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Now, this evening, we can talk about what's happening in the economy. We can talk about what's happening in Iraq. We could talk about what's happening in New Hampshire or what happened in New Hampshire, because there's been a lot of question about vote rigging there and the fact that they really... Hillary did not win, that Obama really won, and that probably Romney won, that this was all rigged votes because of the electronic voting machines, and even some places when they were counting the votes, they just deleted votes specifically and intentionally. We could talk about that. We could talk really about whatever you'd like to, but I think maybe I'll start talking about what's going on economically, because I think that this is going to have an impact on everybody. But we want you to call us at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question, if you have a comment, you agree, you disagree. There was a fascinating article in the Sunday Telegraph. Now, that's a British newspaper. And one of my favorite writers, Ambrose Evan Pritchard, writes there. I had an opportunity of talking to Ambrose several times when he was stationed in New York during the Clinton administration. Always enjoyed our conversations. But he has an article talking about the fact that President Bush has reactivated the plunge protection team. Well, actually, it had already been activated about a year ago by Henry Paulson. This is known as the Working Group on Financial Matters. It was originally authorized by the government during the Reagan administration to calm the stock market. What it really means is to manipulate the stock market because they don't want it going up or too high. And so here I'll sort of briefly summarize what Ambrose Evans Pritchard said. And it appears to have power, he's talking about the plunge protection team, to support the markets in a crisis with a host of various things that it can do, mostly through buying future contracts on the stock market and, of course, manipulating the Dow Jones and the NASDAQ and the Russell Index. And it can use the key credit levers, and it has the means to fry the short transactions. It can manipulate the price of oil. The plunge protection team is led by Treasury Secretary Paulson, who's the ex-Goldman Sachs executive, and basically Ben Bernanke works right along with them, and of course, everything they're doing is to try to keep the market up. We don't want it to fall because it would have a psychological impact on the minds of the American people. But the question is, you know, what are they going to be able to do? And of course, he talks about the various things that they could do in the way of stimulating the economy. They could do some more tax cuts, release a lot more money into the economy, maybe even send everybody a check, you know. Remember when President Bush sent everybody a check to try to get the economy going? But the question is, are they really going to be able to get us out of the mess we're in today? And basically he goes on to talk about the White House certainly has grounds for alarm. The global picture is really rather dark because the Baltic Dry Index has been falling hard for 7 weeks. Now, I assume that this has to do with shipping in the Baltic region. And of course, when the Baltic Dry Index has been falling, it signals a marked decrease in shipping. Singapore's economy has contracted 3.2%. And of course, Singapore has been one of the bulwarks of the world economy. And during this final quarter, things are tightening down in Singapore. As far as Japan is concerned, the Tokyo Bourse kicked off with the worst New Year's slide in more than 20 years. The Seven Samurai exporters have buckled. The Topix, which is one of the Japanese exchanges, is down 24% from its peak. And just like Singapore, the Tokyo Stock Exchange is stalling. It's a fair bet that China's effort to tighten credit in Asia is not going to rescue the United States, on the contrary. So keep an eye on Japan, still the world's top creditor by far, with $3 trillion in assets, and the Bank of Japan has been the biggest single source of liquidity during this recent boom over the last 5 years. An army of investors, Japanese insurers, housewives, and hedge funds have actually been spreading their money out over the entire world, but now they're beginning to bring all of that money home, and they're going to shrink the liquidity that's available throughout the world. The Japanese are now bringing their money home, as they always do when things get tight, and the yen is beginning to increase against the dollar, and it's gone up 13% against the dollar and 12% against the sterling, and of course this is going to have a profound impact on the world economy. So the U.S. data is now relentlessly grim. Unemployment jumped from 4.7% to 5% in December here in the United States, the biggest one-month rise since the dot-com bust. And at this point, the debate is not about a soft or a hard landing. It's about how hard the hard landing will be, said Nurita Rubini, who is a professor of economics at New York University. Financial losses and defaults are spreading from subprime to near-prime and then non-prime mortgages to commercial real estate loans, to auto loans, to credit cards. The defects and the defaults are rising on corporate bonds, and a severe systemic financial crisis is underway at the present time. This will be a much worse recession than the mild ones in the 1990s, the professor said. Sovereign wealth funds stand ready to rescue the banks, as they already have with the Union Bank of Switzerland, but as Moody pointed out this week, the estimated $2.5 billion are actually involved with the collateralized debt obligations is more than the entire worth of all of the sovereign wealth funds in the world. And fresh losses in the property bubble pop in Britain, Ireland, Australia, Netherlands, Scandinavia. All the world is contracting. The housing bubble has burst in Europe as well as the United States. What we're seeing is a worldwide phenomenon. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'd like to get your thoughts about what's going on as far as the economy is concerned, as far as what's happening, or if you'd like to talk about what's going on in Iraq. This is Open Lines, and of course we're dependent upon you to give us a call to make the program interesting. Well, Paul Craig Roberts has written an article about employment. And of course we hear how employment really is great, how we're creating all these wonderful new jobs, how great globalization is, how it's going to give us an opportunity for a lot more high-paying jobs instead of those old manufacturing jobs. And of course, Paul Craig Roberts is certainly one of my favorite commentators. He was formerly the Assistant Secretary of Treasury during the Reagan administration, and we've had an opportunity to interview him as well. So let's see what Paul Craig Roberts has to say. And remember, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Maybe you're one of those people out there who is now had to take a lower-paying job. Maybe you're one of the people out there who's working only part-time. And, of course, this is one of the big things they're doing now, is giving people part-time jobs so that they don't have to provide any pension benefits or other benefits for them. And so they work 30 hours a week, but that cuts down considerably on the overall cost, because if people are working a 40-hour week, then, of course, they're considered full-time employees, and they become eligible for their retirement benefits and for their health care benefits and for their disability benefits. But, of course, if you're a part-time employee and more people are being put on part-time, well, you don't get any of those benefits. So Paul Craig Roberts writes this recently on January 8th. December didn't bring America any jobs. To the contrary, the private sector lost 13,000 jobs from the previous month. And if December is a harbinger of the new year, it's going to be a bad one. The past year, hailed by Republican propagandists and free trade economists as proof of globalism's benefit to America, well, it was just plain dismal. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, non-farm payroll data, the U.S. Super economy created a miserable 1,054,000 net new jobs during the entire year of 2007. But that's not enough to keep up with the population growth, even at the rate discouraged Americans unable to find jobs are dropping out of the workforce, and that caused the unemployment rate to rise to 5%. During the past year, U.S. goods producing industries continued its long trend. U.S. manufacturing lost 374,000 jobs. But making things was the old economy. The new economy provides services. Last year, 1,428,000 private sector service jobs were created. Are the free trade propagandists correct that these service jobs, which are our future, are high-end jobs in research and development, innovation and venture capitalism, information technology, high finance and science and engineering, where the U.S. allegedly has such a shortage of scientists and engineers that it must import them from abroad on work visas? Not according to the official job statistics. What occupation provided the 1.4 million service jobs in 2007? Well, waitresses and bartenders accounted for 304,200 or 21% of the new jobs that were created last year, and 29% of the net new jobs. Healthcare and social assistance accounted for 478,400 or 33% of the new service jobs and 45% of the new net jobs. Ambulatory health care and hospital accounted for the lion's share of those jobs, and professional and business services accounted for 314,000 or 22% of the new service jobs and 30% of the net new jobs. Are these professional and business service jobs the high-end jobs of which free traders speak? Decide for yourself. Service to buildings and dwelling account for 53,600 of the jobs. Accounting and bookkeeping services account for 60,000 of the jobs. Architectural and engineering services account for 54,000 of the jobs in computer service design, and related services account for 70,000 of the jobs, and management consultant for 88,000 of the jobs. There were more jobs for hospital orderlies than for architects and engineers. Waitresses and bartenders accounted for as many as last year's new jobs as the entire that of professional and business services. And ladies and gentlemen, we are trading our manufacturing jobs for low-paying jobs because there's an organized effort to lower the living standards of the American people. We did a program this afternoon with our good friend Orlean Kula, who's president of the Eagle Forum here in California, and she was saying that the same thing has happened over in Germany, where, of course, her family comes from, her husband's family comes from. And there, of course, the people have lost two-thirds of the value of their currency because of the European Union, and the same thing is going to happen when we have a North American Union. The people have had to move out of their homes into public housing. The people used to have enough money to go on vacations. They no longer have money to go on vacations. The people of Germany and Austria are being systematically impoverished, and you're not hearing about it here in America. Why? Because the same thing's going to happen here. The same program of equitable distribution of wealth will be carried out here, and will raise the living standards of the American people to that of the Mexican. Just as in Europe, they're raising the living standards of the people in West Germany to the living standards of the people in Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, which, of course, have been impoverished for since the end of the Second World War. Well, we've got John from Oklahoma. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Hi. Hello.
And let me just put out our telephone number one more time. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, John, do you have a question or comment?
Oh, I had a comment, and it would be probably concerning those that are without, and I think that would be his ultimate blessing upon each other, and that would be sharing. I think this is the time where we need to share with each other.
All right, how are we going to share with each other?
As we see needs.
Well, I think that, of course, people usually are very, 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 very charitable, and, of course, people should and certainly should help one another, but the trouble is that that's not going to get us out of the economic mess that we're in. Because the economy here in the United States is shrinking, and I believe, of course, we will very well move. It may very well move into a situation like we did in the Great Depression, where there really were people who were hungry, and there were soup lines, and there were soup kitchens, and there was a real need for charity to keep people from starving. That's the only time it ever happened in this society, but it certainly did happen there. And it happened because of government manipulation of the economy. And they got us into that terrible mess during the Great Depression. And I feel that what we're going to see ahead is going to be even far worse. And there's going to have to be a lot of people helping people before this is over.
Well, I'm not talking about the big soup lines or anything. It's on a personal level with those of our neighbors.
Amen.
Take care of each other and our neighbors and the ones that we love. And remember those that we care about, especially on these times as the days grow dark.
And work while you still have hands. I agree with you totally, and this is going to be a time to put into practice what Christians claim to believe.
Amen.
Amen.
You have yourself a fine evening, sir, and I really appreciate your time.
God bless.
I enjoy listening to all of your programs.
Now, you haven't called before, have you, John?
I've tried, I think.
All right, fine. Good to have you with us.
Yes, sir. And it's been many years that I've listened. I've been listening. My grandfather listened on shortwave. He was one of the originators of the short ham radio band and everything. He really pioneered a lot of that work. And you, like I said, you have yourself a fine evening, and all those out there that love Jesus, and that's where we put our hearts in, and we put our trust in Him. And the last word will be Mark 13:20.
All right, God bless. Thanks very much. Bye-bye. All right, fine. That was John calling from Oklahoma, and certainly I think that we're going to have lots of very, very real problems, and we're all going to be really called upon to help our neighbors in the time that lies ahead, because I think we're moving into a financial meltdown. Those of you who listen to our programs regularly and who read my newsletters, we've been doing a series on the financial meltdown. The last letter in that series is going out here, I think, tomorrow. That'll be part five. And then we're going to put those into a pamphlet. And so you can actually pass that out. And we, of course, you have the, we welcome you either to copy the letters off the internet and pass them out, or from our website at RadioLiberty.com, or you can buy one of the pamphlets and you can copy the pamphlets. If you want to buy them in bulk from us, of course, we'll be glad to sell them to you at a reduced price. If you want to disseminate them, we want people to get the information and to get it in the hands of others. So again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly what is happening in the housing market is really amazing, because, of course, in certain parts of the country, the housing market is certainly collapsing, and we're talking about Phoenix, Las Vegas, Sydney, Florida, certain areas where there's been very, very intense building, and, of course, along with the building of the new homes have been the building of the retail centers. After all, the commercial real estate usually follows the housing, and people are going to be putting in a lot of houses. Why the people who want to put in retail centers are building right behind them. Of course, once you get started in this building cycle, you get all the permits, you get the money, so even though things are contracting, a lot of the contractors have gone ahead and putting in those commercial centers. The only trouble is that as the houses, people are not backing out, they're canceling their contracts to buy homes, and more people are simply not buying the new homes that they planned on. They're either forfeiting the down payments or breaking their contracts, and of course this is creating real problems. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But of course the major builders are really having problems, and of course their stock is dropping. Of course, people are losing their equity in the stock. People are losing their jobs. Well, we've got Mark calling from Florence, Oregon. Hi, where is Florence, Oregon, Mark?
Yes, Dr. Stan, Florence is about 100 miles basically south of Portland, Oregon.
100 miles south of Portland?
Yes, sir.
All right, fine. Okay, go right ahead.
Well, thanks for the great show, and it's really an honor to speak with you, Dr. Stan. I've certainly followed you through different media through the years, and your information is always accurate and impeccable. I really call, Dr. Stan, you're kind of going in a general direction tonight, basically, around the economy, but also you'd mentioned the Iraq War.
Sure. You can talk about whatever you want to. I just mentioned whatever people want to talk about. I'm just talking about the economy because I've been reading about the economy. But would you like to talk about Iraq?
Well, Iraq ties into it. Basically, I was going to go with the overall context of these major drains that have occurred on this country in particular economically. And the Iraq War is one of those.
Right.
And I believe people talk about the main objective we went into Iraq was for oil. I think that was a byproduct, a really beneficial byproduct to the Illuminati, to be able to collect those proceeds and hold that continued or expanded power base that they have on the world's resources.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to how it affected and does affect this country economically, we're now the world's greatest debtor nation. When Ronald Reagan came into office, I believe we were the world's greatest creditor nation. And this is all part of that Illuminati agenda, whereas it just happens to include us in a very large way this time. And in order for, and I'm sure that you understand this, sir, for the New World Order to be born, this country must die. And I believe that they went into Iraq they being they and us being us and us and them, in order to wreck this country economically in a very short time frame. And I believe the shortness in the of the time frame, whether it applies to an economy or whether it applies to going to war for no good reason, and it comes up within days, literally.
Hold that thought for just a moment.
All right.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Mark calling from Florence, Oregon, and Mark is saying that he feels that one reason we went into Iraq, or perhaps the major reason, was to bankrupt America financially. So go right ahead with what you're saying.
Yes, sir. And they've had great success at this. Now, I believe we're somewhere in the neighborhood of altogether $10 or $12 trillion in debt. Is at least that's what is said in public, if you can find a public, reliable public source.
Well, of course, what they have done is they've raised the national debt. I think we're about $8.7 trillion, and they've raised it up to well over nine, I think nine and a half, or almost to $10 trillion. So,
right.
You know, in other words, they can go up that high, but we probably are in the neighborhood of $9 trillion in debt. And, of course, I don't think anybody can really even fathom what $1 trillion is, but that
right.
is only the stated debt. If you go to the GAO website, that's the General Accountability Office, and read the writings of David Walker, who is the Comptroller General of the United States,
mm-hmm.
he will tell you that the real debt is in the neighborhood of about $50 trillion. In other words, that's what we've committed to put out for Medicare, Social Security, and the other things, and there's just no way we're going to be able to meet our financial obligations. So we are a bankrupt nation, no matter how we look at it.
They're really not. We already are bankrupt. It's not that we're going bankrupt. We're bankrupt and living off of other people's resources.
Right.
Actually, all the rest of the nations in the world are really, however you would say it, kind of on lean pickings outside of perhaps Japan and China.
Well, think right now. We're having to borrow about $2.5 billion every day just to meet our debt. So we are the greatest debtor nation the world has ever seen. Whereas countries like Russia and China have massive reserves. Russia has about $440 billion in reserves. China has about $1.35 trillion in reserves. So we are a debtor nation. They are creditor nations,
yes.
And creditor nations to us.
And they essentially own this country, and they're in a process, an ongoing process of buying this country. As far as, for instance, blue chip stocks, top manufacturing and technology companies, and such like this,
right.
With the money we owe, they're dumping their U.S. dollars and buying things up in this country at a faster rate than ever. But it's been ongoing for a while, though.
Right, and the average American doesn't understand. We're selling really our seed corn. We're selling, our corporations, certainly. The City Bank recently, had to borrow a great deal of money from Abu Dhabi, and mm-hmm. of course Union Bank of Switzerland, although primarily Swiss, it had to borrow money from Singapore. Merrill Lynch had to borrow money from the Singapore, and having to borrow a great deal of money from unknown people in the Middle East. Many of our major financial institutions are having to borrow money to keep from going bankrupt. This is what it's all about.
Yes, and it's really more than anything else, anything that happens, and especially the Bush White House agenda of the last 7 years or so, and anything that happens until, if we can get to the point where he will leave office on time and a year or so from now, it's all toward the destruction of this country, Dr. Stan. You know, and I'm sure that you're aware of this and have been aware of it for quite a long time. And it's just really at the point where I don't know what else could turn it around outside of the exposure of the whole nefarious plot, inclusive of 9/11, that would shake people out of that stupor that they've been put into by the means and various means, even through their television on a daily basis, most people in this country, of subliminal messaging. That's just one form of the social engineering which has occurred on the American people in particular.
I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right. But let's look at the what's going on. I think there's going to be a terrible financial meltdown. I think that most people are going to lose, and they're going to wake up one day and suddenly realize they've lost the value of everything they spent their whole life working for.
It'll happen very fast, too fast for anybody to stop it unless they're aware of it beforehand.
But at that point, hopefully, they're going to be able or they're going to be willing to listen. Right now, they're not going to listen to what you and I say. You know, we might just be whistling into the wind.
Well, I hope they're listening right now, Dr. Stan, because I know there are some people out there, and they'll tell others, and every little bit helps, and maybe God will make a miracle if we just keep putting the truth out there. But I really appreciate you, sir.
God bless you. And hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment.
All right.
And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We are entering into the most difficult time of our lives. I really believe that. Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Mark is still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, you know, through the years.
As long as you'd like to have me, it's an honor to speak with you.
Well, you know, through the years, as practicing as a physician, most of the physicians in my community were not Christians. You didn't need to be a Christian. I mean, when you're a doctor, it's almost sort of like you're a god. You got a lot of money, you got a lot of prestige. I mean, you don't need God. And then some personal tragedy would come along, perhaps the loss of a loved one or the loss of a wife, or maybe your professional integrity was challenged, whatever it would be. And you'd see these doctors, first of all, go into a depression and then looking for an answer. And then, of course, there were a few of us there who were pointing them towards Christianity. And, of course, we had a wonderful, wonderful minister. His name was Roy Kraft, who worked, and he, for 9 years, would get up every Tuesday or Thursday morning at 6 o'clock so he could be there and spend an hour with us before we went in surgery or started our days. And of course, these doctors became Christians, but it was an adverse situation. There was a crisis in their lives before they began looking for God. And this convinced me the fact that nothing is going to change in America until our affluence changes, until people are searching for something. And when they're searching for something, why, hopefully we'll be there. We can point them towards God. What we need in America is a great revival. And not until times get bad are people going to be begin looking for the Lord. And our job is going to be there and hopefully to point them in the right direction. That's what I'm looking for.
That's true. That's a very important function and purpose that you do serve, I think, is just you among a few others, even Alex Jones exposing everything such as Alex Jones does. That's his bailiwick. It's the ultimate information style or characteristic of actually covering the whole story on a very large topic that affects everybody in the whole world these days. And he has a special gift from God, as you do also, Dr. Stan. And even though it's really hard information to hear, you don't like to hear it, but you expect to hear it these days by this time in time, if one has been informed over the last 3 to 5 years about what really happens behind the scenes, what causes things to happen that are reported on the mass media news in some brief way, but you really don't get the actual overall plan of which that event that's being reported on the mass media news is a part. And
hold,
it goes
hold,
on.
Hold that thought. We'll be have to bring our station on. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Mark is simply just saying that, you know, he was what a good job Alex Jones is doing, and because you're not getting the truth off the regular media, and he's absolutely right. Alex is doing an excellent job, as is Joyce Riley and Jeff Rentz and a few of the others.
Sure.
But I don't think most of them or really get as so much into the spiritual aspect of what's going on, but at least they're pointing people and making them aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, God bless you. We're going to have to go to some of the other callers.
Just a pleasure speaking with you, sir, and have a great night, and I look forward to talking with you in the future. Thanks for giving me so much time. It's been an honor to speak with you.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you. Thanks so very much.
Good night.
Good night. And let's go to Pete, who's calling from Spokane. He's got a question. Hi, Pete. How are you doing?
Hey, Doctor. I'm absolutely love your show. First-time caller.
Oh, and you live up in Spokane, huh?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I had heard you talk about ADHD and ADD.
All right.
I've heard other Christian radio hosts just poo-poo it, say, oh, their boys will be boys and everything, but I happen to have a child that my wife and I have read the diagnosis, and we think he's got the ADHD, and I don't know how you feel about it, but we're trying to find some alternative ways to help him cope, because we've tried the medicines and everything, and it's just the side effects and everything, it just doesn't seem like the right way to go. But
no, he's not autistic. He's got, does he have attention deficit disorder? Does he have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder? What is he?
Hyperactivity
disorder.
ADHD.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
And I really believe that these are real clinical entities. I mean, when you can examine,
I can tell you firsthand, they are, because I was the kind of person that a year and a half ago I said he's just a boy. Boys have a little more testosterone, a little more excited. But I can tell you firsthand, he does have. He's different than the other kids as far as writing, reading, learning, attention, all that kind of stuff. So.
No, he's not autistic though.
No, he's not.
Is he a smart boy?
Well, we just did some homework tonight, and he knows the math. He figures it out, but it's hard for him to stay focused.
All right, fine. And so this is really what you have with the ADHD. Well, you know, have you been up on the internet? There are really, sometimes people will tell you that diet will help these, and perhaps it does, certainly getting them off of wheat and getting them off of sugar. You know, and then, of course, I believe a lot of these children have actually been damaged by mercury. And, of course, now the government has conceded that, at least as far as autism is concerned, it was the first case that went before the vaccine court, compensation court. I hear about 4 months ago, the government conceded there was a relationship between vaccines and autism. And I believe that there's a spectrum of diseases. It starts with autism, and then it goes to ADHD and ADD, and then a learning and behavioral disorders. And that's why about 1 in 6 children has some sort of neurodevelopmental or behavioral abnormality. I do not know whether chelation would help, but there are tests that they can do that will tell you whether, you know, your child does have mercury intoxication. And if I could suggest that you call me off the air, and I can even have my producer get your telephone number, and I'll call you back, you might talk to Dr. Geyer, and he could actually, there's a porphyrin test that they do to see if he may have excess mercury. Whether that would be a factor in this, I do not know. But
if he does, is there a remedy for
yes,
that?
Yes, there is. How old is your boy?
8 years old.
Yes, there's some excellent things that they're doing today, in far as suppressing temporarily the testosterone. And then, of course, they can get rid of the mercury on their own, and then they can let the testosterone come back again. And then there are other dietary things that really will tend to help. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold, and I'll have my producer gets your telephone number, and then I'll give you a call off the air, okay?
Okay, can I ask you another question?
Sure you can.
And then if you need to put me on hold, that's fine. I'll listen to it on the radio or whatever. But this is unrelated.
Okay.
But really quick, just real quick, I want to tell you, I was at the pediatrician yesterday, and the doctor said, of course, I asked him about the mercury and the vaccines and the increased autism and everything, and he indicated to me that, well, at least his understanding, that there's no more mercury in the current vaccine.
All right, fine. Well, first of all, they have taken the mercury out of the childhood vaccines, but they've left it in the vaccines that are given to children. Now, that seems a little contradictory, but they actually have added it to the influenza vaccine, and they're giving the influenza vaccine to pregnant women in the first trimester, and to children at 6 months, and three shots at 6 month intervals, you know, and so they're really poisoning our children with the influenza vaccine. But the regular vaccines, they've removed the mercury from it. However, they have not removed the aluminum. And aluminum, of course, is another heavy metal, and it's a significant part in the vaccine. So I'm not a great enthusiast as I used to be. As a chain physician, I used to support all the vaccines, but I suggest that perhaps people take the polio vaccine and maybe the DPT and the as long as the pertussis is the new pertussis, rather the acellular pertussis, but stay away from most of these others. There's no justification for the hepatitis B vaccine or most of the others. Yes, there's a small risk if you don't take them, but there's even larger risk if you do.
Mm-hmm.
And we carry a great little book written by Neil Miller. I think it's only, $9.95, something like that. It's just on vaccines, and he goes through all the vaccines. You can read the book in a couple of evenings, and it will give you a tremendous insight into vaccines. Now, we have four tape sets on vaccines and autism and mercury, but this one simple little book, we also carry Sherry Tenpenny's book on vaccines, but Neil Miller's book on vaccines is simple, easy to read, and that's why we carry it. We want something simple for parents.
Well, that's good information. Okay, here's my other question, then I can go. With regard to the economy and the coming meltdown, and those who happen to own precious metals, what is your what do you think about the future and confiscation, and when or if it's not a matter of if it's a matter of when do you think that the government will confiscate?
We don't know. We have no way of knowing whether they will or. I mean, how are they going to justify, you know, confiscating gold when they say it's of no consequence and is not needed for a monetary system? We don't know what they're going to do.
You don't necessarily think they're going to do that.
I don't necessarily think they are. They can do it, and I certainly would not say they wouldn't do it. But I think that they're going to have a hard time getting the American people to go along with that. But what you want to do?
I don't necessarily agree with that, because in 1933, I mean, people just. Handed it over.
I know. They were very, very gullible.
Like we're handing over our liberties.
Amen to that. And there's people in all across the country are giving up their weapons. You know, we're a nation of laws. No, we're not a nation of laws. We got a lot of lawless people working within our government. So
yeah,
you're going to have to make your decisions independently, but whatever you do with precious metals, be very quiet about it and do everything you can so that there's no record. Okay? Okay, God bless, and thanks so very much.
Hey, now will you put me over to
okay,
that?
I'm going to put you on to hold there, and I'll ask my producer to get your telephone number when he gets through with line one. He'll be with you, and right now I am going to go to talk to Mike. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. About the gold, that's not what I called about, but just to say that when the FDR called it in, it was by a stroke of the pen,
right.
Executive order. Actually, two of them, it was 1933 or 32, they're online. And he just declared a banking crisis and didn't explain a whole lot and said, everybody fork it over.
And I don't know what percentage of people did and what percentage of people didn't. I suspect there's some people who didn't. I suspect that most people did.
Yeah, I think people were more apt to go along with whatever the government said. Especially, I think, weren't they coming off the tail end of the Depression right about
right,
then?
Right. Well, no, this was not coming out. This was 1933.
Yeah.
So basically, the Depression really lasted all the way up to the end of to the beginning of the Second World War.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
go ahead.
So they were in the middle of it. So, yeah. Well, I want to talk about Iraq.
All right. And go ahead.
We hear so many people talking about how do we deal with this situation honorably, or if we're going to leave in an honorable way or even stay in an honorable way. The whole discussion to me is so pathetic, and I'll tell you why.
we are not there for any honorable reasons in the first place. What we're doing is an extremely dishonorable thing. And in other words, our leadership, we have we're a nation of war criminals. We have a leadership, a shadow government, or whatever you want to call it. And some of them shadow, and others are in the White House. Nothing but war criminals now. And I see the only honorable way to deal with this would be to apologize, to acknowledge what we've done wrong to the whole world. Probably from there, pay reparations forever for the damages we've done to the whole world, not just Iraq. We've made enemies of the whole world as a result of this. I think probably every nation in the world, generally speaking, understands the true reasons behind 9/11 and the total fraud that was perpetrated on this nation and the whole world. And from there, I think we ought to turn our war criminals over to the world court or to Congress. They need to be tried for treason. This would be the honorable way of dealing with the situation in Iraq.
Well, I certainly agree that the honorable thing to do would be to say we never should have gone in.
Yeah.
And we're terribly sorry that we did.
That's the starting point.
To stop the killing, because there's nothing honorable about killing civilians.
Yeah.
Okay, God bless. And
thanks
so very much. Right. And let's go to Maggie, who's calling from Texas. And another, Chris, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Maggie. How are you doing?
Oh, hi, Dr. Stan. I don't want to take too much of your time on this subject if you've got other callers, but I talked to you on Joyce Rowley's program recently about what I had learned on a trip to the Georgia Guidestones.
Right.
And I have, you know, thought about it more and recalled other things from that trip. I have some more information that might interest you. Would you like me to email it to you?
I'd certainly like to. Of course, for people who don't know, the Georgia Guidestones are in Elberton, Georgia. They're also known as the American Stonehenge, and they're this great granite monument. It's almost 20 feet tall, where, of course, some mysterious individual named, called himself R.C. Christian, although that wasn't his real name, had put up the money to build this mysterious monument. He said he represented a secret group that wanted to leave a message for posterity. And, of course, the message comes right out of the pit of hell. And, of course, the Georgia Guidestones are dedicated to the Age of Reason. And, of course, for those of you who don't know that term, that was a book that was written by Thomas Paine back in the 1790s. And, of course, Thomas Paine was very, very popular in America until he wrote this book, which is aimed at destroying Christianity. And actually, that is the real reason. There's a book in the library there written by R.C. Christian where he admits that the Georgia Guidestones were really dedicated to Thomas Paine and his work and his ideas laid out in the book, The Age of Reason, whose purpose is to destroy Christianity. He doesn't say it's to destroy Christianity, but it is. So go ahead, Maggie. What did you learn when you were there?
Okay, well, for one thing, I have found the man I talked to was sort of the volunteer of the day at that museum.
Right,
it was
fine.
A very interesting museum. I have found his card. I can give you his name and his address. He's identified as the assistant director of the Elberton Granite Association,
right.
Incorporated. And if you would like, I can send you his other details.
All right, fine.
Okay, one thing he told me was that there was one person who knew the identity of Mr. Christian, and that was the person, a single person, who had been entrusted with keeping all the banking details and
right.
therefore had to know. Okay, he gave me that person's name, and I forgot, but as far as I know, he is still living and has moved from the Elberton area.
All right, well, of course, what happened when R.C. Christian came, he had to put up a great deal of money to build this monument. And of course, it was somebody who worked for the bank who knew who he was. But to this date, the name of the man who put up the money, the real name of R.C. Christian, has been kept secret. But many people believe that R.C. Christian is a pseudonym for Rosicrucian. that this is a Rosicrucian monument, and I think that's probably fairly accurate. Certainly this is, like all of the megaliths all around the world, whether it be Stonehenge, the Great Pyramids in Egypt, or the Great Pyramids in South America, or similar megaliths throughout the world, they all tie into the mystery religions, and of course their ultimate goal. And of course it's laid out in the Ten Commandments that are chiseled in the stone of the Georgia Guidestone. So go right ahead, Maggie.
Okay. This man, Mr. Johnson is the name of the man I talked to. He was very voluble that day, and he said that he had only recently talked to a young man who was going to write a book about the Guidestones. And I believe that book is out, and it's called the Resistance Manifesto. But there's just a chapter on the Guidestones in it. The name it was written under was John Connor, which is a pen name of that author.
Right.
And then one last thing he told me that really intrigued me. He told us there were only two misspellings on the entire monument. And my natural reaction was to wonder why there should be any misspellings at all. But he did say there were two misspellings. They were in Russian.
All right.
And it had been discovered by the Ukrainian National Symphony when they made a trip to the Guidestones. And I thought that was very, very odd that the whole orchestra had considered this important enough to take a side trip to.
I really don't know why, but I will tell you that this is an occult monument. Yoko Ono, the wife of John Lennon, has written extensively about the importance of the Georgia Guidestones. We do know that there have been satanic ceremonies there and naked ceremonies. We do know that this is a sacred place for witches and other people deeply involved in the occult. Why the Ukrainian symphony would come, I really can't tell you, but I can tell you that there have been reports of UFOs seen hovering over the top of the Guidestones. This is an occult center where, of course, the dark forces of the world tend to congregate. We'll be back in just a moment. And, first, if you want to give us a quick call, we have time for one more call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Okay, Maggie, anything else you wanted to say? Well, I guess we lost Maggie, so this gives us a couple of minutes. We could perhaps just mainly talk very, very briefly about the Georgia Guidestones, as long as she had brought it up. But certainly the significance of the Georgia Guidestones are the Ten Commandments that are listed there. And point number one is maintain humanity at 500 million in constant balance with nature. Now, why do they want to maintain humanity and a constant balance with nature? Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but the idea that maintain it at 500 million, that means they're going to have to kill off over 90% of the world's population. And if you read the Ten Commandments there, you'll find out they deal with population control, or with the environment, or with the idea of a one world government, and of course with the idea that of a new spirituality. Well, let's see. We've got Tracy on line two. So let's go to Tracy. Is this Tracy from Arizona?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Do you have a quick question?
Yes. Dr. Stan, I've just got a quick comment. I don't know if you've heard of the magnetic clay.
No, I know. I don't know anything about magnetic
clay.
Well,
you have to get online, but I've purchased some magnetic clay. It's a bituminous clay, and people can soak their feet in it, and it will remove heavy metals.
All right.
Yeah, and it's, you know, something you just soak your feet in a pan. The word needs to get out about this because it works very well. I've given it to several people, and I take people down to have their dental work done in Mexico, and they have a buildup of mercury in their system. It comes right out through the skin, and in the bottom of the pan you can see it.
Really, well, I'll tell you what, Chris, you want to get rid of your mercury. And I know that there are some dermal chelating agents, of course, or rectal chelating agents as well. But apparently, you can chelate. You don't have to go through the expensive intravenous chelation. But where do people get this bituminous pain?
Well, I think it's LL's. If you get online, and I think if I don't have a computer anymore, but if you pull up magnetic clay.
Oh, magnetic clay, okay.
Magnetic
fine.
Clay, bituminous clay. I know Joyce Riley's had a guest on about this.
Now, does Joyce endorse this?
Oh, yes.
All right, fine.
But I don't know if she knows about all the aspects of it, but I think the heavy metal treatment is the most important aspect of this.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate so much your calling, Tracy.
You're welcome.
God bless, and bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Tracy calling from Arizona about another method of chelation I'd never heard of before. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course I always enjoy our Wednesday, open line Wednesday, and always enjoy the people who call and appreciate it. Well, certainly this is the time when I have to remind our listeners out across America, across the world, that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and believe me, this is an expensive network because, of course, we are heard on shortwave at our first hour of our evening program and the 2 hours of our afternoon program, and then, of course, on satellite and on radio stations and on the Internet, and it's an expensive proposition. And if you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family and help Barbara and I, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and you can join the Radio Liberty family by subscribing to the newsletter, and getting the monthly four best tapes of the month or four best CDs of the month, and anything that you can do certainly is appreciated. And then, of course, we encourage all of our listeners to go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, where you can actually listen to our programs on the Internet. And if you probably are maybe listening on shortwave or a radio station, but you can listen to the second hour on the Internet or by shortwave or by satellite. And please encourage others to listen to the program, because it's a learning process. We have to get people to begin to challenge everything they believe. And it's a hard thing to do. I'll never forget when I first got started at this, I could not believe that my whole educational system at University of California, where we had our Phi Beta Kappa key and belonged to the honor societies, and that I really had not been educated. I'd been indoctrinated, and how hard it was to unlearn all the things that I'd learned and to begin to be able to think independently. But once you can think independently, although the whole world changes. And the greatest thing you can do for somebody else is to get them to understand the media is controlled, their mind has been controlled, and they've got to be able to begin to use that mind on their own. And of course, a lot of people have certainly been affected by heavy metals, by other toxins, and there are ways to get around that by eating proper fruits and vegetables, and certainly many of the health products that we carry will actually help to chelate out a lot of the things that you have in you. You've got to be able to get your mind functioning, because we're heading into very difficult times and you're going to need all of your faculties. So certainly encourage others to listen to our program, and then get them to read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or watch the CD. And you can watch the DVD up there on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com for nothing. Of course, you're going to have to sit there for 2 hours looking at your television screen, but if you want to get the DVD, you can. And then, of course, my talk on the forbidden secret, because this will introduce you to the secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years by the sages of the secret society. So we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going to our website, looking at the various items we have. You can order the Forbidden Secret, you can order the DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and the DVD entitled Riddles in Stone. They're very professionally done. I do have small parts in both of them, but they really will begin to introduce you to what's really going on. There really are secret societies that played an important part in for the formation of America. We have a DVD titled The Atlantis Connection, and actually the person speaking is the one who made the Secret Mysteries and Riddles in Stone DVD. But the plan has always been that America has become not lost Atlantis, but the new Atlantis, and lead the whole world into the New World Order. And the New World Religion with the New World Leader, and this plan's been around for literally thousands of years, but you and I are fortunate enough to live at the time when this is all coming together. Fortunate, unfortunate, I don't know which one, but they're going to be exciting, difficult, challenging, frightening times that lie ahead. Please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, the views of this hour of Barry Shamish, who is an Israeli patriot. He had been instrumental in educating the majority, or at least almost 50% of the people in Israel, at least of the religious Jews, that a Rabin, who was their former prime minister, was murdered back in some years ago, and was part of a plot by the Shabbat, which is the Israeli counterpart of the FBI, and he's written a book on the murder of Rabin, and he's very well known in Israel for that, and he's lectured all over the world about it, and he's always been trying to keep people abreast of what's going on. And of course he's had to come to live in the United States because of a danger to his life, and so he's living in Florida at the present time, and a frequent guest here on Radio Liberty to keep us abreast of what's happening in Israel, because this is really the center in many respects of everything going on in the world. I mean, and certainly we're watching the demise of Israel as a sovereign state, as the leaders of Israel betray that nation, just as the leaders of the United States are betraying America and bankrupting our nation, so the leaders of Israel are doing the same thing to their nation because they are subservient, at least in part, to the Council on Foreign Relations and Barry Fields, in part to the Vatican. And the Vatican plays an important part of everything going on in the world today. There are forces that work behind the scenes that are energized, in my opinion, by spiritual forces that are intent upon the destruction of Israel and the United States. So with that as the background, Barry Shamish, thanks. Are you feeling any better tonight?
Oh, it's just going on, but I'm fine.
Okay, fine. Well, now, of course, the president arrived in Israel today, and did he really bring 8,000 troops with him?
I don't know. I watched a press conference, and I'm looking at my emails, and by the way, it's James Jones. There are two Joneses working in Israel. Richard Jones is the ambassador. James Jones was a former head of NATO. and he wants to put American troops into the the hinterland between whatever is going to be a Palestinian state and Israel. That's his little role in this, but he doesn't want to be the head of these troops. And all of this is actually happening. Look, let's first of all start off with that press conference. Did you see Olmert and Bush today in the conference?
No, I didn't. You're going to have to rely upon you telling me what happened.
Okay, and then we'll go back to what I suppose these troops who arrived, they were certainly seen all through Israel and Bethlehem and Judea and Samaria. There were lots and lots of American troops that were spotted and seen. But that conference was just so ghastly and so scary. First of all, Bush was angry. He was in a very bad mood. And they kept showing Condoleezza Rice, and this is one very ugly woman, and she you saw her just furious sitting down at this press conference, and obviously she was disappointed about something, and the worst of all was Olmert.
All right, you hang on there. We're going to be back in just a moment or two. Our guest this evening is Barry Sammons, and we're going to get an update on what's going on in Israel politically, and believe me, it's going to have an impact on America, one way or another. Okay, Barry, go right ahead.
Well, Olmert, even in English, he was just a little poodle. He was, I mean, how many times do you have to say how important the Annapolis conference was when it was clearly a flop? But he just kept repeating about the important conference in Annapolis, and he kept calling Bush Israel's best friend. Now, this is what you heard in English. You should have heard what he was saying in Hebrew. Now, I had an advantage in being able to hear, thanks to CNN's terrible sound engineers, I heard exactly what he was telling the Hebrew reporters, and he was grandizing Bush in his own home, how we should honor this man who came to visit us in our land, and he has only our best interests at heart, and Olmert would not stop talking about the great man standing beside him. It was an awful, awful performance.
Oh.
Now, again, you have to wonder how scared this Olmert was. I mean, you had an angry Bush. You had a terrifyingly scary Rice in the audience. And you had an Olmert who was nothing more than just a barking dog. Every word he said was just praise for Bush. Now, there's something weird happened, and I think we can sort this out. I'll tell you but the press conference I was at a few years back. But first of all, they kept asking about the Iranian provocation on American boats. And the reason I'm going to talk about the press conference is it's entirely scripted. I was at Bill Clinton's press conference, and every question, every reporter was known ahead of time. Now, there was supposedly an open mic, and I stood in line to ask Clinton a question, and I was pushed away so this Israeli TV reporter, this psychopath Israeli TV reporter would have my way. Now, I was with someone, a Christian named David Livingston. He had a prosthetic hand. He died in Winnipeg last year after, I think, fighting for Israel with all his heart. And he said to Clinton...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Barry is talking about the press conference that President Bush had today with Olmert, and that he was using as a comparison a press conference he'd attended some years ago with President Clinton when President Clinton visited Israel. And of course, Barry was in line to ask a question there of the president, but all of the questions were scripted, and there was a man with him named David Livingston. Anyway, pick the story up
he
there.
He just pushed the Israeli reporter aside physically with his prosthetic arm, and he said to Clinton, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said to Clinton, do you know what a sin it is to give up God's land? And this on worldwide TV, and Clinton just turned red, and as far as I recall, barely answered the question. And Rabin was so drunk at that press conference, he couldn't answer the question, even if it was directed at him. But there is no free press. Now, this you have to understand, these press conferences have nothing to do with reporters quizzing their leader. Now, in the case of Clinton, where I sat really three chairs away from Warren Christopher, who I believe is visiting from a foreign planet, this was one very strange-looking person, and he was, well, I was in the aisle behind him. He was literally three people away from me. And now, when Clinton and Rabin walked into that room, all the reporters from the United States stood up and gave them a standing ovation. The Israelis didn't, but that's what they did. These people are hired. They're hired flacks. And the president today, by the way, knew every reporter from them. He knew them by name, and he knew the questions that they were going to ask. Now, the first thing I want to say is, the question, he's in Israel, and he's asked about the Iranian provocation and the nasty patrol boats who attacked the American frigates. Now, people, you saw that film. What you didn't see is what the American boats did before the patrol boats arrived. They must have done something incredibly provocative to get those patrol boats to threaten them. These were tiny boats against big American fighting ships. What we were not told and what we did not see is what the Americans did to get the Iranians so darn ticked off. Okay, now this is it. In America, they're thinking that Iran has provoked the American Navy. And I say nonsense. The American Navy did something, and that something was not shown on TV. What we saw was the last sequence where the patrol boats start circling the American Navy. We were not told what caused them to do this. And that is basic journalism. Iran does not want a fight with the United States. That's the last thing they want. It's their waters. They have the right to be in the waters. American ships have no right to be in their Gulf. All that's true, but the American ships must have done something that threatened Iran, and we are not being told what that was.
Well, of course, apparently the Iranians have claimed that the whole thing was staged, that this was somehow the CIA was staging this. We don't know there were Iranian boats. We've just been told there were Iranian boats. We don't know what really happened over there other than what the propagandists have told us, true or maybe not true at all.
Well, isn't it a coincidence it was on the evening of Bush's Middle East visit that this provocation took place? Look, this was done on purpose.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was well timed for the president's arrival.
To scare the heebie-jeebies out of everyone in sight that the Iranians and the Americans are going to go to war. Who knows what purpose this incident really serves? You can be sure it's not anybody human in this world's purposes to have this provocation. But one thing is for sure, the night before, the 2 days before Bush arrives in Israel, we have this incident. And at the press conference, Bush is asked about the Iranians. And I want to tell you, what he said about Iran, which, by the way, took up a third of the press conference, that the Iranians, just because they've stopped making nuclear weapons doesn't mean that they can't start up again. And, you know, it was really an attack on Iran, this press conference. I'd like to know what this is all about, because we're all going to feel it very, very shortly. And this press conference, as for poor Israel and its pathetic little prime minister who is, they are keeping in power, what he said, he promised to get rid of all illegal Jewish outposts of suburbs. They're not outposts. These are suburbs that were going to be built, and people were going to live in them, and suddenly they were frozen, and it's people going back to suburbs that were promised their families could live in. Nobody understands. Everyone thinks an outpost is something like in 19th century Wyoming, in the middle of nowhere. That's not what's going on here. The word is wrong, but Olmert managed, because of Bush and the question asked to him, once again, he promised that he would uproot all the outposts, and look, Israelis knew what that meant. And that meant a lot of trouble coming up, a ton of trouble. Now, the first Israeli reporter we must talk about someday, believe it or not, this spiritual battle, she was a part of it. Her name is Ayala Hasson. There were only, what were there, I guess, two Israeli reporters allowed to ask questions. She also asked about Iran in Hebrew. Ayala Hasson, this is a secret. Look, this is not the time to talk about Return of the Giants, but Ayala Hasson in the streets of Tel Aviv was walking to her car, and a creature, monster, alien, whatever you want, chased her into her car, and then hung on to the car with I believe it was suction-like limbs. She went through an amazing spiritual, well, I would not call it something anybody would want happening in their lives. And I recognized her. I'm watching TV. I know this story. I got this story from his name was David Ronan from Maariv, who worked with Ayala Hasson. She asked the first question.
When did this creature come after her? Was this back in the 90s sometime?
It sure was.
All right, fine. It was when the we were having this period of supernatural
experience. It was in 97.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
We haven't done this show yet.
All right,
but
fine.
That's the first thing I see is Ayala Hasson, and I know a secret about her. And then we go get to the next left-wing Israeli reporter who asks Olmert when he's going to get rid of these damn outposts. The whole press conference was rigged. Now, you asked a very important question, and I'm going to return to that question. This week, in the past week, Sarkozy, the French premier, meets with Abbas and tells Abbas that NATO troops can be placed in Judea and Samaria to separate the Palestinians from the Israelis. And Abbas agrees that it's a great idea. This is followed by Tzipi Livni, Israel's foreign minister, saying that it's a great idea. This is followed by, once again, James Jones, not to mix him up with Richard Jones, who says that American troops will take over a wide swath of land between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Then come the reports that massive amounts of Israeli troops have landed with the president. I've got reports of 8,000 have arrived in the week leading up to Bush's arrival. They are planning to put foreign troops in Israel. these are not just mild reports. These are reports all over the place that the time is very, very close when the Israeli army is going to be replaced by international soldiers, American and NATO soldiers, and they're going to impose their version of peace on Israel. Now, I got to ask you, look at Israel's situation. Does Bush really believe that Hezbollah and Hamas are going to sign a peace treaty with Israel? Does anybody in their right mind believe that there is any chance in God's earth that they're going to sign a peace treaty with Israel?
Well, of course, you're assuming that people are in their right mind. And, of course, I don't believe that George Bush is in his right mind. And I believe that he believes that this is going to work. And I don't believe it's going to work. And
you don't either. He does not believe it's going to bring peace. Anyone who views Israel's situation, do you know how many rockets were fired in Israel on this one day that Bush was there? Two Katyushas up north. 12 rockets on Sderot. You've got Israel bombarded already with rockets.
Right.
There's nobody in Israel that believes that a peace treaty is with Hamas and Hezbollah is possible.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish. And I think that these are difficult times for Israel because, of course, there are those who are intent upon its destruction. And some of them are in the White House. All right, Barry, go right ahead. Pick up the story.
Well, this was today's events. And, I have the usual Israeli events of the week. But it bothered me, this press conference. It was just so staged. And Olmert was pathetic, and he was afraid, and Bush was angry, and Rice was furious, and something terrible is going to happen to Israel. Terrible. Israel is surrounded in its north and in its south now by rocket-firing enemies, and nobody is going to sign a peace treaty with Israel. What is Bush really doing there? What was that provocation with Iran? Why don't we know what happened before these patrol boats showed up, if they did show up? All of it is, something awful is brewing.
No question at all, Barry. I'm very, very, I share your concern about the fate of your country.
And what's worse, Israel is tomorrow I'm going to be putting out a video that I did in New York, and you'll receive it. I explain it perfectly well. Israel is no longer building up. It's not a country the citizens can be proud of. Now, before Oslo, Israel was a country where a Jewish state was building its foundations, and you were proud to show visitors all the accomplishments. Now a visitor comes, you show them the Golan Heights, we're going to give it up to Syria. You show them East Jerusalem, and, we're going to give it up to the Palestinians. You show them Hebron, Israel is being torn down. And if you think the people of Israel don't know their country is being torn down, you don't understand what it's like to be living in a country being torn down. Now there is a lot of delusion in the media and in a very small segment of the Israeli population that is living now with daily rocket attacks and watching its government kowtowing to these really dangerous, low-class politicians. You could not have anyone looking sleazier than Bush looked today. You could not have anyone uglier in the world determining your future than Condoleezza Rice. She is a witch. And all of this was on TV for the world to see that Israel was going to sign a peace treaty while rockets were falling on the country, well, Hamas and Hezbollah will never, in anybody's imagination, ever sign a treaty with them. It was absolutely surreal.
Well, of course, the question is, did you actually get reports that American soldiers were being seen there?
Oh, sure.
All right.
Oh, sure. Again, it's a subject you like, and a subject we've discussed, and I may put it out tomorrow. There are lots and lots of reports that Bush came with, preceding Bush, with a massive, one report again, words that 8,000 soldiers arrived with and before Bush.
These are American soldiers.
American soldiers.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Barry has had reports a month ago or so that when Bush came, there were going to be about 8,000 American soldiers with him. He didn't put the report out until he read it in the Jerusalem Post that they were bringing a large contingent of American soldiers there. He did put this out earlier this week. And Barry claims that there are reports now that a lot of American soldiers are being seen all over Israel. In other words, we know that there's an American base has been built in Israel, a fairly large American base. Nobody knew why they were building a large American base. And then suddenly these stories about large numbers of American soldiers suddenly appearing in Israel. Just go ahead.
Well, again, Israel as a country is being chopped up and doomed. I'm gonna go back to hard facts. I just gave opinions, and I'm sure many people who saw that press conference agree with some of these opinions. But let's go to horrible facts. The army put out, it's got a new program it's going to be a failed program for getting Israelis back into the army. There's a phenomenon going on in Israel where right now 28% of men and 42% of women are refusing to serve in the IDF. And by the way, just 10 years ago, the figure was 18%, and practically all of them were ultra-Orthodox learning the yeshivas. You have a rise of 10%, and you're creeping towards one-third of the male population of Israel no longer will serve in the army. Now, I read the report. By the way, the plan, just so you know what the plan is before we go into the report, if you're a combat soldier, you get a gold release card, which supposedly will get you a good job. At one time in Israel, that was true. Nowadays, you could be a shirker and get a job. Nonetheless, a silver one if you were working in the back line somewhere, probably in Tel Aviv. And you had a bronze one if you were doing national service, maybe in a hospital. Now, the reasons they gave for this really awful phenomenon where the youth of Israel no longer want to serve in their army, a lot of the youth of Israel no longer want to serve in the army, and they don't view it as shameful. At one point it was an absolute embarrassment for the rest of your life if you didn't serve in the army. Now 28% of all males and 42% of all females no longer want to serve in the IDF. And at one point, that was viewed as cowardice. You had to be a first-class coward if you didn't serve in the IDF. Well, the Army lists the reason why you have this massive refusal. And one is, of course, the materialism of the Israeli population. And that would take care of the Israeli left. And they're refusing like crazy. But the number two reason, which I have been stressing for the longest time, was the religious youth do not want to serve in an army that uprooted the Jews from Gush Katif, that tear Jews from their homes. And it's now a fact. They're refusing to serve in the IDF. the most patriotic Jews in Israel are now in increasingly worrying numbers refusing to serve in the army.
Well, in some ways, you know, I respect them for that. I think that they should very, very seriously question whether or not they should be required to do things that are wrong from the Jewish point of view. And I agree with them. I don't think that they should serve as long as the army is being used to uproot Jews from their homes.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And people have asked me about, I served in the army when there was a proud Israel, when you were actually defending your nation, and you were uprooting Jews when I served in the army. And I got to tell you upright, and this is the difference between this generation and my generation. If I was given the order to go into Gaza and uproot the Jews, 10,000 of them from Gaza and Samaria, I would absolutely refuse. There is no way in the world my nation would abuse me by having me hold a gun to a fellow Jew so the bulldozers could come in and knock down his house. Out of the question. I wouldn't do it. This generation did it.
Well, hopefully this coming generation is going to say, we're not going to join unless, of course, the Israeli Defense Force is defending Israel. And they're not. We'll be right back in just a moment. All right, Barry, go right ahead there.
A next very worrying statistic. Now, I keep getting letters. I get weird letters from Christians who feel they use this word, drawn to the Holy Land. They want to live there because they're being called to the Holy Land, which is absolutely ridiculous. They have a good job here. You're not being called by anyone to live in the Holy Land. But nonetheless, they think there is a massive immigration from the United States to Israel. And their propaganda machine has Israel's economy just been glorious, and it's a face-down third-world economy. But more to the point, I've got these immigration figures from the government. Now, the government developed a program for Israel's 60th anniversary, if in fact Israel survives until then, to bring back Israelis who have left the country. There are, in the United States, 600,000 of them, and what the Israeli government claimed, that a little over 30,000 Jews had left Israel for good this year, mostly for the United States, where they have relatives and so forth, making their journey a little easier. Now, the number of American Jews going to Israel this year was less than 3,000. It's 10 to 1 those leaving over those coming to Israel. And these are these are government figures. Israel lost 30,000 Jews this past year. And what you've got a massive population transfer out of Israel. And by the way, it's not just the Jews. There are no Christians left in Bethlehem. I remember going there for Christmas Eve just to watch the pageantry because it was a safe city way back in the 70s. It was 85% Christian. They were nonviolent and they were nice people. There are not even 10% Christian anymore. The PLO, since taking over Bethlehem not all that many years ago, have terrorized, raped, and murdered the Christians into leaving, and they're going to the States faster than the Jews. You've got a situation where they're Islamizing Israel, and the Christians and the Jews are leaving the place like crazy.
Now, of course, that's the Arab Christians you're speaking of. Right. Okay, go ahead. Hold just a moment here as we bring our stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Barry Shamish. And before we go on, Barry, I want you to tell our listeners out across America, indeed out across the world, how they can get in touch with your website, how they can get your books from Lulu.com, and how they can get your DVDs. So go right ahead.
Well, why not? Thanks. Look, just type in www.lulu.com. You'll get to the site, and I'm not going to give you the content numbers of how to get to my books. You just write Shamish. In the right-hand corner, it says search. You write C-H-A-M-I-S-H. You get to my books, and they're very inexpensive. You can download every one of the books for less than $10, and it'll be sent to your house in a very nice book within a week. So that's lulu.com, right in Shamish. The website officially is the BarryChamishwebsite.com, but www.BarryChamish.com will get you to the website, and you can explore there. And I have these DVDs. One of these days we'll do another show on Return of the Giants. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done Ayala Casson today, but I saw her on TV and it reminded me of this very weird spiritual side of what happened during the Oslo Accord, and it's called Return of the Giants. If you want that DVD along with the Vatican's new campaign, a new crusade for Jerusalem, I'll leave my phone number.
Go ahead.
904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605. Now, shall we return to Israel?
We'll go right ahead. Now, did you get your Barry Shamish website out there?
Sure, the BarryShamishWebsite.com. Right, or BarryShamish.com. There are phony websites by my enemies. Make sure you get to the BarryShamishWebsite.com, and you'll enjoy it. And now we're back to Israel.
We're back to Israel. Go ahead.
Now, I said something, and tomorrow I will write, but I think I'm going to be a lot briefer than I wanted to, because I sent it to you already, by the way. I've got a DVD done in New York very professionally, and I think that says about everything I want to say, and I'll send it out tomorrow. However, what I've been saying all week long is the protesters of Israel blew their chance with Bush. Tomorrow night, by the way, there is a rally in downtown Jerusalem, and maybe we can still salvage how much Israel hates Bush. There are posters around town. They've been brought down. They've been taken down by the police. Everything to make Bush think that he's loved by Israelis. All the polls show that he is utterly despised by Israel. Utterly despised is Condoleezza Rice. And they're trying to hide that. Now, 3,000 protesters gathered last night, not in Jerusalem, but in a place outside Jerusalem called Har Choma, a new neighborhood, for the sole purpose of getting in their cars and heading for the hills to set up some settlements. In other words, they're running away from Bush and the reporters. There should have been those 3,000 people in downtown Jerusalem booing Bush wherever he went. That would have made an impression. But they threw away their chance. This was the Women in Green, the last protest organization that actually lives freely in Israel. The rest have been infiltrated and brought down. People like the Asia Council, everyone now knows, works for the government. And they blew it. They did a futile, ridiculous protest with no reporters around to watch them put up their sheds. The army will tear them down when Bush leaves the country. And that is the protest so far in Jerusalem. It's been very poor. The real protest against Bush has been the Gaza Strip, where the whole population hit the streets. the Israelis have not properly told Bush to take a hike. We don't want you anymore. And that is their own fault. That's all I can say. It's their own fault. I did my best with them. I'm only one person. And compared to the power of the Israeli and American media, I'm not even an ant.
Well, don't get discouraged. You do your best. That's all you're called to do, Barry.
Well, actually, we're both doing a pretty good job. At least we're telling the other side of what people saw on television tonight. It's just a farce. Now, how much time do we have?
Well, we've got about, let's see, we've got about 13 minutes before.
All right. Then that's more than enough time to tell what actually happened in Israel leading up to Bush landing.
All right, go right ahead.
2 days ago, yes, 2 nights ago, Israel was hit with Katyushas. Katyushas are not Kassams. They are a guided missile. And I must say, when I fought Lebanon in 82, they were used basically as mortars and artillery. They're a very nasty, nasty weapon. Now, a lot of people don't understand what being bombed with Katyushas, even Kassams, mean. They don't know that they're filled with nuts and bolts and shrapnel, and they make a terrible noise passing by you. It sounds like this, by the way. That's what they sound like in the air as they pass over you. And then they land, and there is a terrible fireball and a terrible noise. Now imagine that you have a Katyusha landing in your neighborhood. Well, that's what happened in Ashkelon, I guess it was a week ago, and that's what happened in Shlomi 2 nights ago. These are very serious Russian-made missiles, and Israel has had 3 of them in the last week, in addition to the usual 60 Kassams. What can I tell you? Ashkelon is a big city. It's got 300,000 people. The Katyusha landed 50 yards from a prosperous residential neighborhood. You would have had 30 days. If it landed in that neighborhood, in an apartment, and the apartment collapsed, which a Katyusha could do, you would have had dozens wounded and killed. The Air Force went crazy against Gaza. There were 3 air raids, actual jets, not just helicopters. Actual air raids, for the first time in anyone's memory, the Air Force went crazy after the Katyushas landed in Ashkelon, and they killed like 12 Palestinians. The point of the matter is, did you know that Gaza is no longer just sending pipe bombs called Qassam to terrorize Sderot? They've got the real thing. And 2 nights ago, northern Israel got hit with 3 Katyushas. I'm getting reports there were 3. At a minimum, the Israeli army is now going to be fighting a genuine war from the north and from the south, and it started this week. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen in this war. Again this week, it was a very busy week. Oh, it's always busy in Israel. Nevertheless, Israeli helicopters, I think they were Cobras. They were small helicopters. I think they were Cobras. Nevertheless, they were shot at by anti-aircraft missiles in Gaza. You'll excuse me. My throat is clogging. All right, back again. They were shot at by anti-aircraft missiles in Gaza. Now, what that means... This nonsense about Israel being able to take Gaza without killing a lot of civilians, because you have to see Gaza to understand there's not an open space in that place. If you actually put it into the rockets, you're going to get civilian dead, because one thing is for certain, if you have a helicopter attack, the helicopters are we now know for a fact are going to be sprayed probably with Russian SAM-7s. Now, the Israelis, again, have defenses. What they do is they puff out a very, we used to call them potassium bombs, a very hot flame would go out the back of the helicopter, and the SAM-7s would chase the hotter flame. But this helicopter got hit. Apparently, it wasn't prepared for the fact that Hamas has got anti-aircraft missiles. Israel's got a war brewing right now, the real thing, with Russian-made anti-aircraft missiles and Russian-made Katyushas hitting it from really what has become from ragtag terrorists into growing armies. And, well, what can you say? This is what Bush is in Israel for, to make peace with these people. There is no peace to be made with these people. It can't be done.
Well, I'm sure you're absolutely right, Barry. In other words, I think that there is no way, no concessions could be made that would ever guarantee Israel the right to exist. So go ahead.
Well, I don't know about the PLO. I mean, this is the grand delusion of Bush. And everyone should know this. Mahmoud Abbas is not representing the Palestinian people. He doesn't represent anyone outside his doorstep. And this is who Bush is depending on. You know, when Abbas lost the election, they made him president of the Palestinian Authority. That came from America. The Palestinian people threw him out of office. If he signs any agreement, it's already worthless. Worthless. It represents nobody but Mahmoud Abbas. Now, if Olmert signs any agreement, Olmert's rating in Israel, and that hasn't stopped him before, and that didn't stop Sharon before Olmert. They sign and they go ahead because there is no one in Israel to stop them. Olmert's rating, his approval rating in Israel, is an incredible 3%. That's what the polls show. The number of Israelis who approve of Olmert, and by the way, that is with a 3% margin of error, which means he can have 0%.
Well, of course, isn't there any way that they can hold an election, get rid of
it? No, there's nothing. Just like America's going to hold an election without a CFR member becoming president. No! What is referred to as the New World Order doesn't give a hoot about democracy. It's an absolute fallacy. Well, come on. I mean, look at Israel's leaders. I can tell you that Netanyahu has been in the CFR camp since 1976 or so, when he was a student at MIT, and he fell into the arms of George Bush and Richard Pearl and George Bush the father, okay? Not this George Bush, George Shultz. It doesn't matter if you vote right, it doesn't matter if you vote left, you get the CFR. And the scariest proposition, sitting in the president's house, Shimon Peres, you've got yourself the Vatican outright, and who is negotiating for the so-called quartet is the newest convert to Catholicism, Tony Blair. There is nowhere to go. The Israeli people have no outlet. And I'm watching this American election, and people either do you.
What? Barry, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
All right, fine. I thought we lost you there.
Yeah, it felt like there was a little gap missing. This is not a question of the Israeli people having their own future in their hands. Their fate is being decided by just dastardly people from abroad. And when I saw Bush today in Israel, I just said to myself, get him the hell out of my country. Get him on the next plane. Who invited this person there? We don't want him there. You know what? Israel does not need American aid. The crummy $3 billion that Israel officially gets is nothing in a $120 billion economy. They announced something, though, that was absolutely weird. If you haven't heard of this, Olmert announced it in the Hebrew, and I think English as well, that there's a $30 billion aid package coming to Israel. I never heard that before. I never heard that until this press conference today, that there was a $30 billion aid package for making peace. Something very, very weird. Israel should not take a penny from the United States. Bush should get out of there, and Rice, she should never be allowed past the airport ever again. She is an enemy of the Jews. She was absolutely, she was scarier than Bush. They've got to leave Israel and never come back ever again. That's my point of view.
Well, of course, but they are going to force some sort of agreement on Israel. They're forcing Olmert to meet with Abbas and come up with some sort of agreement. And as you say, Abbas has been repudiated by the Palestinians. So why is Olmert negotiating with him? And it's all showbiz. As you know, the Hamas will not negotiate with the Israelis. So, you know, they have Abbas there, but he's simply a figurehead representing absolutely nothing.
Well, the little signs that I once looked for hope, the seven girls arrested 2 weeks ago, refused to give their names, are still sitting in prison, refusing to cooperate with the police or the courts because they no longer believe, they no longer accept the rule of Israeli courts. These are girls 12 to 14 years of age. They could be out of prison. They're being pressed psychologically to cooperate, and they won't.
Basically,
Ariel Haddad, member of Knesset, has restated his desire that Israelis fight their government with civil disobedience. There are signs of life in that country, but again, this trip was ghastly, simply ghastly. And the Israeli people did not make Bush's trip the nightmare I had hoped it would be.
All right, fine. Well, our guest has been very shamish, and of course, talking about the progressive demise of Israel. And unless the Israeli people are willing to take a stand against the traitors who control their government, well, it's just like it is in America. Unless, of course, the American people are willing to take a stand against the traitors, the globalists who control our government, then there's no hope for either nation. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, Barry, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
Oh, my. I thought I left on the... look, I don't know what to wrap. I've got a piece of paper in front of me just talking about the swaths of land that will be evacuated by Olmert, and American troops will come in there to separate the force. I've got all this on paper, and what can I tell you? There's no good news coming out of Israel. If I had a sense of humor, I suppose there could be some way of turning this absurdity into some sort of theater of the absurd. We've got ourselves a situation in Israel where every official dry statistic and every fact on the ground is bad. It's a country unraveling. Today I saw the unravelers, and the unravelers are awfully, awfully ugly people, and one is the President of the United States. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, Jerusalem time, is supposed to be a mass rally against Bush. Let us all hope and pray that this time Jews come out and let Bush know how much we despise him.
All right, fine. Well, it'd be very interesting to see if the people will come out and express their support for Israel and their opposition to this idea of the Palestinian state, because this is require concessions on the part of Israel. But it's not going to bring peace. There is no way that concessions or land, anything is going to cause the radical Islamists, the jihadists, to acknowledge the existence of Israel and allow it to exist, in what they consider to be Arab land. So I agree.
They're not aiming for peace. They're aiming for another Holocaust. And what I'm worried about is that my friends, my family, they're going to be in the middle of this thing. And that's what worries me.
And I think with good justification. But you see this, I think, much more clearly than most people do, just as I see what's going on in my country far differently than the average American does. And I see very bleak times ahead for America. Because when either country, of course, turns its back on God, why, of course, God is going to bring judgment on Israel. I believe he's going to bring judgment on America. Shamish, thank you so very much for being with us, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
No, I'm talking to you tomorrow at 10 a.m.
All right, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning it'll be, and God bless you. We'll look forward to the program then.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Bye. Okay. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and because this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to us across America, across the Western Hemisphere, across the world, to help us. And if you believe in what we're doing, and you believe our message is accurate, if you believe, as I do, we're really involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, why don't you give us a call, or consider giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America, it really is under attack today. And if you join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, well, we'd love to welcome you. And then, of course, we certainly would suggest that you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our radio programs there live 3 hours a day, or you can listen to the live feed 9 hours a day, or you can listen to the archive programs or the MP3 programs. And so the radio is there, it's free, and we try to keep that up for about 6 months, 6 weeks before we take it down and rotate in some more programs. And then of course we have our DVD video section you can go to and free of charge see a lot of the videos we have, and then you can pull down our newsletters, and we suggest you do that and copy those newsletters and file them away. And of course we put a lot of them into pamphlets, and if you want to get the pamphlets and copy them, that's fine. We want you to help us get the information out, the information on so many different subjects. And well, of course, we have a three-pamphlet set of our newsletters on the occult hierarchy. There is an occult hierarchy that rules the world. We have a three-pamphlet set on the foreknowledge 911. They knew it was coming down the line. How do we know that? Because one of the hijackers defected, and if you don't know about the hijacker defected in April of 2000, and told the FBI exactly, or almost exactly, didn't talk about the World Trade Center, but told about hijacking the planes and being trained for it. It's all in that three pamphlet set. And then, of course, we have our pamphlet on We Are a Republic, the history of money, genetic modification, and then our latest pamphlet, the capitalist communist conspiracy, the capitalist communist conspiracy. That term came from Solzhenitsyn in a talk that he gave to the AFL-CIO back in 75. I guess it was the Capitalist Communist Alliance. The Capitalist Communist Alliance. And then we'll be putting together a new four-tape, new pamphlet on the financial meltdown, which will include our latest newsletter, the November newsletter, which is be going out tomorrow. All of this information available by calling 1-800-544-8927. But let's suggest that you get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read it, you must. Either that or watch the DVD, which is up on the Internet, or get the DVD. You need to see my talk on the forbidden secret. The forbidden secret, the secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years by the sages and by the elect and by the adepts of the secret societies. What is the secret? Well, you're going to have to watch the DVD to get it. And then we have the four tape or four CD set, the secret behind the secret. a 4-CD or tape set on Satanism and deliverance, on the supernatural, and the book that goes with that, of course, The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson. We have the 4-tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, and the book that goes with that, Hostage to the Devil. And then the 4-tape set, or 4-CD set, Satanic Crimes. And then we have a book by exactly the same name. We've got a great new 4-tape set on the Bilderbergers. We've got a book on the Bilderbergers. You'll certainly want to get the information because it's not available from any other place. That's the Bilderberger 4-tape set and the book on the Bilderbergers. And then, of course, Pray for America. Pray for Revival.